The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Bread. That's the matter of concern. Bread. That's the basis of all our striving, our working, our seeking, our struggling. It is the basis of the fighting and the hating and the stealing and the killing and the plundering. It always has been. It is now. Bread. Of course, by bread we mean more than just a loaf that is baked out of flour. Luther properly defines daily bread, both in the first article explanation and in the explanation of the fourth petition. It is everything that belongs to the wants, to the support of the body, food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, money, goods, everything. And that's what man is after. God had arranged it that way, hadn't he? God implanted into man hunger and need. They need to be met. Unfortunately, the whole problem with bread is that people have messed their striving up completely. It's all out of shape. And it's so easy to forget the relationship of God and bread, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all those things that are necessary for us. Beautifully, Jesus straightens it all out for us in this beautiful text. It's a real sedes doctrina for the providence, the perfect, gracious providence of the Lord. You know the background. Jesus had been speaking to the people, and he recognized that they, this great multitude, and it was a great multitude, perhaps more than you'll usually at least have in your congregation to listen to you, over 5,000. Jesus recognized that they had a problem. They had been with him. They had exhausted what food supplies they had brought along on the way to the Passover, for they had delayed several days to be with him. They were hungry. We recognize very quickly here that bread, the providence of the Lord, is very clearly known, very clearly understood, and very clearly recognized by the Lord, even though at times we just can't seem to see a way out. For in his wonderful compassion, he made a test, and it's good that he did. Philip was the one to be examined. In a real sense, we are just like Philip, aren't we? Jesus said, where will we get food, bread, to feed this multitude? Philip says, well, 200 pennies worth, and I have an idea that was about all they had, wouldn't be enough. Andrew, the brother of Peter, chimed in and says, well, here's a guy, a little fella, he's got a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish, but what's that among so many? Isn't it interesting, don't we find that man is constantly doing that very same thing? Now, ever since man's fall, he's always trying to play God. He's trying to be his own master, the master of his own destiny, isn't he? Man is always trying to take this matter into his own hands. I'm not saying that man should not do his part, for the Lord our God has certainly given us talents and wisdom and understanding and resources and abilities that we do work with this. But so frequently, and that's the besetting sin, man is so materialistically and so self-centeredly minded that he thinks he's got to do it his way. It's very evident there was no way to feed this multitude. Not by human standards, not by the resources they had on hand. It's good that the Lord did it this way, don't you think? Because don't we so often come face to face with that same insurmountable mountain? It just can't be done. It just can't happen. That highlights, doesn't it, the wonderful providence of the Lord. Our total inability, inadequacy, is the background for the wonderful providence that the Lord now clearly shows. Not only does he show that he has the power, not only does he very clearly demonstrate deity, and that is certainly a part of this text, isn't it? The demonstration of his divinity, but he shows that he is concerned, he is able to take care of the needs. For using these few loaves and fish, Jesus, contacting his Father in prayer, says, "Now distribute." And they did, and you know what happened. Everybody had food to eat in abundance. In fact, in such abundance that we see a third part here, they had 12 baskets of food left over. Not scraps, but food. Real stewardship of the gifts that the Lord had given, right? And stewardship, this is also a sedes, isn't it, for a good sermon to preach on the stewardship of the gifts of God. A lesson which perhaps a lot of us, I don't mean here necessarily, but the people today need to learn in their wastrel and self-consuming manner. They're plundering the earth. The Lord wonderfully provides for his people. He provides for them richly. And he does it with his power, but also in his grace and love. Now, all of this on the part of Jesus, like all of the gifts of God, have a purpose. And that purpose is not self-gratification. And we see, unfortunately, these people did not fully understand the providence of the Lord. They did not see. They saw here was a prophet. Here's a man who's got the powers of a prophet, but that's all. And then again, in the manner and fashion of humans, they wanted to turn all this onto themselves instead of giving glory to God and to the Lord. For they said, this man would make an ideal king. Provide and provide and provide. What a wonderful utopia that would be. It was all self-centered, wasn't it? That's not what the Lord had intended. His compassion, so wonderful, meeting the insurmountable needs, as far as man is concerned, they were insurmountable. As the Almighty Lord God, providing for all of those needs so richly and abundantly, so that there was a great deal left over, he expected more. He expected the people to recognize him and to give glory to God, to him as the Lord, and to the Father, with whom he is true God. But they didn't. You see, that's the problem, always, today. The holy writer says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, O Lord. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. That is true. But then there's so much hunger and so much misuse in the world, isn't it? That is because of man's sin. Because these people did not understand, did not give glory to the Lord, Jesus withdrew. And of course, we must not forget that he did straighten out these people, and that was the next day. Jesus crossed the lake over to Capernaum. These people weren't going to give up on such a good thing very easily, you know. They were still going to make him king, a bread king. And so they found him over in Capernaum, and then it was that Jesus really straightened them out. He says, this bread, like the bread of Moses, didn't last. You need more. You need the bread of heaven. I am the bread come down from heaven. And then he said to them that, which really shocked them, and they didn't want to hear of it. He says, my flesh is food, my blood is drink. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not come into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was there very clearly pointing out that he, the very one who had provided for their physical needs, is the very one who through his sacrifice and death upon the cross, his giving his body and shedding his blood, and all that he did, and this is not, understand, just specifically and only related to communion, it deals with all that Christ has done. It says, unless you have that, you lose the greatest providence of all, the perfect providence for the soul and for life. For food, bread is meant for the sustenance and the happiness of life. And the bread of heaven, Jesus, is meant and is indeed the bread of eternal life and eternal happiness. Jesus is a wonderful provider for body and soul. And oh, let us never forget that. Not just in the problems and the struggles we may have with food and drink and house and home, etc. But let us remember the perfect providence of our Lord Jesus Christ as far as the life that never ends is concerned. And so as you come also this day to the Holy Table, the Holy Communion, remember, there Jesus, in his own wonderful way, as he has promised, in his wonderful New Testament, comes with his true presence, his body and his blood, which carries, of course, everything that he has done for us. And he seals that new life to us. In other words, he feeds us bread of heaven, bread of heaven and earth, bread of all. Yes, Lord, feed us till we want no more. Amen.